Blog Talk Radio.
Today.
Very excited today.
I know you are, Sister Tasila. We have got to, I can't wait to get started, but first I want to welcome everybody to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. And, Tasila, you said that you're excited. I'm excited. Well, what I would like for everybody to do, since Tasila and I are very excited, we would like for you to pick up your phones or grab your computers and go to your inbox on your computers or text a family member or friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our dial-in number is 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. 8537. Be sure to tell them that, or they can just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila or the link wherever they see the post of this particular show, okay, if they choose to listen from their computer, all right? So you can do it that way. You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. Just go ahead and dial in or click on the link, whichever one is good for you, all right? Oh, also, we are on HSBN, that's Holy Spirit Broadcasting Network, .tv. So, yeah, we're on TV now, so you can see our faces. Our show is called The Message of Life, all right? It won't be Christian Talk. It'll be The Message of Life. And we are live on Facebook, as a matter of fact, this Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m., okay, so you can tune in at that time, and you can find us all throughout the week on TV shows, apps, and platforms, like for to name a few, On Demand. Remember now, you're looking for The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila. We're On Demand, Roku, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila. Also, yes, if you are looking for a place to worship, we would love it if you would come and worship with us. Yeah, come and worship with us. We are located at 869 North Euclid Avenue. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. So if you're in California, come and visit us. And those of you who live near the Upland area, Inland Empire, and all of that, come on and visit us every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Once again, the address is 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Okay? Okay. So now I've said all of this. Let me take a breath now and let you listen to Kimberly Brown. We'll be right back.
There's a world of needy people. Need to know why Jesus came. Broken homes and broken people. Needing love in Jesus' name. Weary hands and weary feet. His body made of many parts. As we choose to work together, we can heal these wounded hearts. Jesus said to feed the hungry and to give the thirsty drink. When we serve the poor among us, we do more than what we think. Jesus said to house the homeless, clothe the naked, feed the poor. Visit those who are in prison, for it's him we do it for.
It's about time to come together. Here, but there's more people outside. We're the light of the world, and it's time that we let it shine. Darkness everywhere, some are losing their minds. We put God in the songs, and we put God in the rhymes. It's time that we stand together, so get up on your feet and show people the love of Christ. That's what they wanna see.
Oh, wow. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And, man, do we have a good show for you today. But wait a minute. Hold, you hear that, Pastor Tasila? Wait a minute. What is this? Yep. You know what it is. All of our regular listeners know exactly what this means. It's that time. And what time is it? It's TNT time. It's a TNT moment, everybody. So we're going to, we're going to talk a little bit. Pastor Cecilia, what do we have for this TNT moment?
Oh, we have something that is very interesting. And someone wants to know, what does it mean to overcome? And before I answer, I'm just going to say this one scripture in Zechariah 4:6 says this, is the word of the Lord, not by might and nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'll say that because the book of Revelation speaks to him that overcomes. What are we overcoming? We are overcoming many besets or obstacles in our way. Besets are plagues and hounds and worry and attacks and encompass, infest, assailants, bugs, harassment, and obsession or obstruction. So these are things that can come and go and surround your life. In Hebrews 12:1, the Lord puts it like this. He says, lay aside every weight that means to you. Put it aside, cast it away, every weight. Now stop and think. What weight? Burdens, problems, hurt, bruises, pain, debts, habits, sin, addictions, bad memories. Everything that is a weight on you must be overcome. Political systems, religious systems, the systems that worship money, the systems that worship people, and put humans above God. God refers to them as weights because it drags you down and out of your place with him. And it puts a weight on you in the beginning of each year. And you guys can really relate to this. most people try to take a look at their lives and put it in order to change something, some of the besets that they know that they have, and try to better themselves. But in a little or no time, it's back to the same routine. But by Jesus only, I just got to let you guys know, is the only way these besets can be taken care of. The word says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about, and that means what is around us and through us, and like a lot of people don't realize that we have a cloud of witness around us. It's saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run the race that is before us with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He overcame as a man, you guys. Jesus came in the flesh to show you that you can overcome also. The Bible also speaks of the great cloud of legal witnesses, is what I call them, around us. They are here to take record or take note of what they see, because they see it as it happens. Here we see that they are a great cloud of witness around us, cheering us on. Jesus told us already in Matthew 11:30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants us to give him our ugly, sadness, depression, our weights, our burdens, our problems, our hurts, our bruises, our pains, our debts, our habits, our trauma. Some of you have had some bad spells in your life that you cannot just keep continually to relive. Sometimes things happen, you know, a lot of things happen to a lot of people, but we can't relive them over and over and over again. You have to let it go and stop making excuses or using those traumatic situations for your bad behaviors. Jesus doesn't like excuses for sin, because he knows that he already provided for us what he already paid for. He knew, he knows he provided something big for us. And as he went to that cross and what he paid for on that cross, because he paid the price for everything we need, we can be yoked with him, and he will help us as we go through this life of trials. And he's the one that causes us to overcome. Hey, now, you guys, listen. You cannot, you can't be with Christ, or you can't be a Christian without Christ. That's why a lot of you are struggling. Your life now and eternally depends on you, depending on him. None of us can fulfill the plan of God has for us without him. So it would behoove all of us to partner with Jesus, our great, I call him the great warrior king that overcame all these things, and the cloud of witnesses who keep the records, and the holy angels who God sends to assist us. Mostly just partner with Jesus, and he will send us the help we need. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And also, he did promise us that if we do overcome, that we will eat from the tree of life in paradise. He gave us many promises. Think about that. That we will eat from the tree of life in paradise. That's a tree that was forbidden by Adam and Eve to partake of. But God says if we overcome, that we can eat from that tree, which will give us eternal life. We will not be hurt by the second death. Also, you overcome now here, and the second death has no power over you. We will be able to eat of the hidden manna and receive a new name, written on a white stone. We will be able to rule the nations with him with a rod of iron and receive the morning star. You will be clothed in white garments, and he will not blot out your name from the book of life. But the Lord will confess your name before the Father and his angels to become a pillar in the temple of God and the name New Jerusalem to sit with the Lord on his throne. Oh, my God, you know that is like the highest level. I would love to sit with the Lord as he overcomes and he sits with the Father. In the Greek, the expression to overcome means to be victorious. Many of the generals of the faith throughout biblical history discovered a higher place in God through their trials. See, a lot of people don't like to go through trials, but the trials is brings you into your rank as a general. That's where things are changed when you go through your trials. And so their trials that they overcame made them into what they are, what we're looking at. A lot of times people look at people and go, oh, I wish I could have that anointing. That's not your mantle. Everybody has their own mantle that God has given them and their own fingerprints that he wrote about them. Presently, there are a number of people emerging as victorious ones, having overcame diverse circumstances that are on the earth right now. Even though it's dark, we still have some victorious ones walking around. And they have trained and developed their character to be on the lookout. You should be on the lookout for these. These are becoming God's manifested sons of God, the overcomers on earth. There is a maturity that follows overcomers, you guys, that the enemy can no longer penetrate. They have learned that not only these people, they follow the Lamb everywhere he goes, but that the Lamb has taken up residence in them, relieving them from no longer becoming a target, but that now they have become a warrior. A Psalms 144, one warrior, that says, blessed be the Lord, my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skills for battle. Now you have become a threat because you are an overcomer. It is God alone who gives you strength for the battle. He is my shelter. He is my love. He is my defender. He is my savior, my shield, my protection. And when the enemy comes in as a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, it's his might. The Lord will fight for you. So keep your eyes on him. And in doing so, it is he that will make you an overcomer. Right, Brother T?
That is so correct. And you know what? I'm going to give my take on the subject. But first, let's hear a song, and don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Savior by T. Myra McCain.
Always living this.
You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. Praise the Lord. The question is asked, what does it mean to overcome? Well, first of all, to overcome in general means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. It means to defeat an opponent or prevail. It means to overpower or overwhelm. And this could be that you overcame drugs, anger, a very hard time in your life. But what God calls overcoming is a bit different. It's similar, but still it's more powerful. When you overcome in God, it's a powerful situation. We overcome with the Lord when we submit to him and his perfect will. Like, for example, Jacob, who first wrestled with the Lord. The Bible says that he wrestled with a man, but we know that that man was God himself. Jacob finally realized this after they had been wrestling for a while. Jacob wrestled with the Lord just as we sometimes wrestle with him. We wrestle with the Lord. We wrestle with him to get our way. We fight against him. We rebel against him. We run from him, all because we want to do our own thing and have things our way. But when we stop wrestling and learn to hold on to him, then we become overcomers, because we learn how to submit to him. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 28. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. They wrestled all day, or all night rather, because Jacob's will was very strong. And when he, God, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he, God, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And this is interesting, because once the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and it was out of joint just by a touch, then Jacob realized who he was wrestling. And the Lord told him, let me go, for the day breaketh. In actuality, the Lord really didn't want Jacob to let him go. But he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. After Jacob realized he was wrestling with God, he stopped fighting with the Lord and began to hold on to the Lord. Something that we must learn to do, especially in this hour. He learned to hold on, and that's exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He was getting it. Okay, now you're getting it, Jacob. Hold on to me. And that's what he's saying to us. Hold on to him. And then the Lord said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob prevailed because he submitted. He had to learn submission. He had to learn how to submit to God, and he did. He became an overcomer. There's a great reward when we overcome in the Lord. Jacob was called Israel, which means a prince who rules with God or God's fighter, although this was a spiritual name given to Jacob, because Jacob really didn't become a prince that rules with God. So it was a spiritual name given to him. It was more of a prophetic name that was given to Jacob, because the one who shall be, or who is the prince who rules with God or God's fighter, is Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We too, when we overcome, shall have the power to become the sons of God, once we ourselves have surrendered to God. We must overcome. But what are we overcoming. And Pastor Tasila, I'm so glad that you pointed this out. And I'm going to briefly kind of go over some of the same points that you brought out. We are overcoming the world, Satan, and his demons, and their subliminal suggestions, their temptations, their manipulations, their strongholds of sicknesses and diseases, fear, and their lies and deceits. We are to overcome the will of man. We are not to submit to man's will above God's word. We are not to believe and give in to man's lies and deceits, their cons, their doctrines or false teachings, their philosophies, their concepts, ideas, and opinions. Not if it's above or over God. We can't lift it up over God. We cannot give in to man's false and worldly deceptions within their religions and in politics. We are not to put our total trust in science, government, and medicine, because it's all of it has been corrupted. It's all corrupt now. We are to also overcome our own selfish desires, our evil ways, which means that we have to truly repent. And you brought this out beautifully. We have to truly repent of our sins, our inward sins as well as our outward sins. And we must forsake the mindset and temptations of the world. We truly have to learn to submit to God and resist the devil. The overcomers are those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then they wholeheartedly obey the Lord. That's very important. Overcomers are obedient. They wholeheartedly obey the Lord. Okay, so the question that was asked is, another question that you may ask is, what is our reward for being overcomers? And this is what you brought out that I thought was just great. Here's our reward. We will be able to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. That means basically eternal life. We will not be hurt of the second death, which is the lake of fire. We will eat of the spiritual food, the hidden manna or the hidden bread or manna, and we will receive a white stone. A white stone means that you have access to places in heaven and on earth that no one else can enter, not even the angels. You have great favor in the sight of God. God will give you a new name, which means that you will have a new heavenly identity. You will be identified with Christ before the host of heaven and be honored. All will know who you are, even the universe and all of the heavens and the earth. We will receive power over the nations, and we shall receive the morning star. This is deep. The morning star, this is the outraying of Jesus Christ, the light that Adam lost in the beginning. This light is the light of Jesus Christ. It's the light of Jesus Christ being in us and rising up from within us. We become the light of the world, reflecting Jesus' light. The Lord will clothe us with his clothing, which is his robes of righteousness, clean and white, pure. Our names will be written in the Lamb's book of life and shall be there forever. We shall have crowns and be made a pillar in the temple of God, which means we will have powerful positions. We will have God's name, which means we will have everything. We will have the name of the New Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. That means that we will be God's people of peace. And we will have the name of Jesus Christ upon us, which are all the names of God upon us and in us, which is his authority. We will sit with Jesus in his throne for he will make us kings and priests, and we shall reign with him forever. People will come and fall at our feet in order to worship God, because they will see Christ in us of a truth. All this I just named, and much, much more is our reward if we remain faithful to the Lord, hear his word, and follow his commands in this hour. As long as we deny our flesh and stand up for righteousness and not move to the right hand or to the left, but stay in the center of God's perfect will, when we get to the place that we love not our very own lives until the death, which means that we will surrender our very lives for the Lord if that's what he wants, because we realize that our lives in this realm is not as important as his will and his word, and we are willing to die for it. That, my brothers and sisters, is when you know that you truly, totally, and wholeheartedly love God, and that's what makes you an overcomer. Amen.
Woo.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for our TNT moment. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after this with our special guest. Don't go away.
Your left,
your left,
your left,
your left,
your left.
Attention,
calling everyone to proclaim to be a Christian.
Come all ye
calling
Christians,
calling all the new recruits to the demolition.
Come all in
line, prepare yourself for the great commission.
This world is in a critical situation. It's critical.
Rumors of war and massive devastation.
You think a mission?
Wake up, soldiers.
Wake up.
Sitting on the pew.
Get up off the pew.
The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. God has given us a mission.
We're on a mission.
Word everyone to reconcile with him, yes.
Who will work?
Commission
for
having dirty to wait.
Yeah.
commissioned to serve. You've been commissioned, commissioned to serve. You've been commissioned, commissioned to serve. You've been commissioned, commissioned to serve.
Your left, your left, your left, your left, your right, your left.
Hallelujah. You've been listening to Christian Talk with T-Mar and Tasila, and we are back with our special guest, and it's Elder Russell Paul Scott of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. Hey, my brother, how are you?
Hi, T-Mar and Tasila, Brother TNT.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
Well, you know, before we say to a lot, well, you can answer. She said, "How are you, Russell?" I intervened.
Okay, I'm good. I'm fired up for Jesus. Sure.
Fired up for Jesus. Amen. That's right. Let me tell the
you've been commissioned.
Let me tell the people. Yeah, there it is. That's why I played that. Let me tell the people about Russell Paul Scott. Russell Scott, born in Burbank, California. He always had an interest in God, but was your, you know, typical teenager. However, shortly after he graduated high school, he got saved in 1973, which was when he received the Holy Spirit. He began to continue searching for truth as he visited various church meetings and Christian groups and listening to many preachers on the radio and so on. Then he heard a radio broadcast of Ray Cirillo, who put the call out for people to become the fully manifested sons of God, and that caught his ear. It was at that time Russell felt that he had found the truth and answered the call in 1974 and joined the Upper Room Ministry under the leadership of the late Reverend Ray Cirillo. Russell has been walking in full faith before the Lord ever since he heard the message from Ray Cirillo. And as time went on, revelations of God's perfect plan of the ages was being revealed to Russell in many different ways. And it stayed in his heart and mind. And then God began communicating with Russell in dreams and visions and peculiar experiences. Hopefully he'll share some of that with us tonight, making his plan of the ages more clear. Russell met and married his wife, Jacqueline Paula Scott, and I like that because Russell's middle name is Paul, and his wife's middle name is Paula. That's beautiful. They had two beautiful children. Russell went on to become a software engineer, and he's still a software engineer even to this day. Russell remained under Ray Cirillo until Ray went on to be with the Lord in 2004. But still, Russell remained as an elder in the Upper Room Ministry until 2011, when the Lord impressed him to leave. He later, in that same year, joined Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, where he continued his position as elder, and he quickly became a pillar in the church, continuing to teach and share the word of God to the congregation and to many over the internet, and continues to give out the prophetic warning to whoever has an ear to hear, and he is willing to go wherever the Lord leads him. Everybody, let's welcome Elder Russell Paul Scott.
Yay! Hooray, hooray! Yay!
All right, Russell. Since the crowd is going crazy, you know. So, man, you know, it's so much that the Lord has been dealing with you about. I don't know where to begin. Maybe you can just go ahead and begin for us.
Well, yeah, because I have a new name for Russell, which is called Man on Fire. And that
Man on Fire. Yes, there's a
I'm
story
on,
behind
I guess,
that.
I guess
Russell, no.
I guess I'll start with I'm on fire because the world's on fire and we need somebody to put out the fire, or at least the devil's fire, because he's roaring, he's breathing fire right now.
Yeah.
We gotta, we got to counteract this thing. That's basically what I wanted to talk about, is the sickness or the disease and the cure. Because we know, and I guess the first thing I would say is, hopefully we all understand, everybody listening to this broadcast, that we are in the last days, that we are living in very perilous time. And,
absolutely.
I guess, and they, there's this, you know, this whole, well, COVID, and actually, if you kind of looking at it from the United States point of view, it really started when they formed the Federal Reserve, and then in the 60s, they took out, after World War II, we were kind of at a peak, but then we started getting into that, we're so great, we don't need God anymore mode, you know, like the children of Israel did many times.
Yeah.
And took prayer and Bible out of school. Then we took our monetary system off the gold standard and just said, well, we can print as much money as we need whenever we need it. And then we started corrupting the rest, ourselves and the world with, you know, throwing money around, which is the root of all, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so Baal kind of took the place of the Lord Jesus as far as the God of America. And so now America's found itself, you know, with, yeah, and then we had the whole thing with 9/11 and the whole thing with the crash in 2008, which was precipitated by 9/11 and 2008, instead of having like a year of jubilee or repenting or something, we just threw more money at the problem and made it 10 times worse. And now it's getting to the, then we had COVID, which I believe was the final nail in our financial coffin here as far as the American dollar having value. It's, we're literally could be days or weeks away from the absolute collapse of our monetary system. Or, and you see it with this inflation, and it's just going to keep going, getting worse and worse. So we're in a really bad place, and you know, obviously, if money's not worth a lot, then you get all that leads to all kinds of problems for the country and the world, really, because for so long we were like the standard for the rest of the world, and
right.
We go down, and who knows what happens there, but there's you know, China's rising and Russia's rising, so. The Bible's real clear in the book of Revelation about the seven seals, and the first seal being, let's see, let me look this up real quick. I got a whole lot of things here. Where did I put that one up? Okay, this is Revelation chapter 6. It's interesting that it's 6, chapter 6. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And the second seal, the second beast said, come and see. And there went out a horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat therein to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So those are like the two big indications we're entering the time of, you know, great trouble and tribulation. We're not there yet, and I'll explain why. I know exactly when the great tribulation kicks off according to the Bible, but anyway, before we get there, these things are beginning to happen, and a lot of smart people said World War III started on 2/22, which of this year, which is when Russia invaded Ukraine, and it's interesting that was the same date as the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So, you know, there's two visions for America. There's the vision of God and Christ, but the last, you know, 50 years or so, it's not been the vision of God. It's been the vision of Antichrist, really, in so many ways. So we have to we have a lot of chaff to clear off to get back to the foundation, and that's what a purpose of judgment is to clear chaff out within, not only within us, but, you know, everything. Everything's got to get down back to the foundation, which is Christ. And So you got to burn up the chaff, and we're getting, and things are just going to really start heating up here. And all I can say is I feel sort of like a watchman on the wall right at this moment, that it's we're really, really getting close, like months away possibly. And I've heard from some good sources that by November we will be invaded, possibly having a war on our own soil. And I'm not going to say that for sure, because God can delay anything, and any, you know, things can change. But
right.
from intelligent sources, Russia and China are right at this moment going into full scale war footing, and their target is not Taiwan, it's America. And if you read about mm-hmm. the fall of the Great Whore of Babylon, and on who she is and how she says, I'm rich and I have need of nothing and I'm the greatest country on earth and I have all of this and we have the greatest military, and yet our military has, you know, just teaching things like transgenderism and trying to drive Christians out or people who don't get vaxxed and all these things to weaken us on so many different ways. Our military is being hollowed out and sent all over the world, and our weapons are going every which way. I mean, it's a mess. It is a massive mess. And then our dollar is starting to come apart, and that's why the inflation, and it's only going to get worse and worse according to a lot of prophetic visions and dreams. It's going to lose eventually lose all of its value. It's going to be like the Weimar Germany before Hitler came in, where you have to have a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy anything. So, I mean, that's the future in the natural. That's the sickness. That's where we're at. That it's time to sound the alarm.
Amen.
And, anyway, so that goes into kind of what I wanted to talk about today, which was Joel chapter 2, because you talked about being overcomers. Well, that's who I'm interested in too, because the sons of God, the whole creation groans and travails in Romans 8:19, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? They're the overcomers in Revelation. They're the first fruits, the ones caught up to God. They're born of the man child that which is in what, Revelation 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. This is Revelation 12:1. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried. So this is like the woman is the overall Christian church now that's groaning. Not the feel good fantasy land church, because that's a different church. But the true Christians in the earth who are groaning because of all of the heaviness that's going on, all the sin, you know, the transgenderism, homosexual parades, murder, you know, letting murders out of jail, and all of this lawlessness, all of these things that are making the, you know, and the Christians are praying, God, do something, and these are the ones groaning and travailing to give birth to the man-child who's caught up to God and to his throne, because she brought forth a man-child who is to rule. Now, hear this closely. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up under God and to his throne. There's your rapture right there. That's the rapture of sons of God, which are the first fruits. The rapture isn't, again, which is another topic, but the rapture isn't so much it's not a one-time deal. The rapture is when you're translated. Whenever you are translated from your earthly fallen state into your heavenly, you're raptured. So if you go by the way of the grave and you're resurrected, that's your rapture right there. You've been raptured into your eternal body, mind, soul, and spirit. But, you know, the church has this idea that they're going to fly away just before things get rough, but the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, there's another place in Revelation that talks about a lot of martyrs. So,
well, they're about late for the rapture, right?
Yeah. But this rapture, this is the rapture. But this rapture, as it were, this when their man-child's caught up to God's throne, this is the sons of God. This is the Book of Joel army, which I'm going to talk about next. But that is the beginning of the Great Tribulation, because right after that, right after they're caught up to heaven, Michael and the angels fight with the dragon. Isn't it funny that the woman with clothes of the sun appears, and then the dragon appears? So it's always God and then the Satan trying to play the counterfeit God, which is Christ versus Antichrist. So anyway, so he's cast out. So at that point when they go up, when they're caught up, then Michael and the angels fight against the dragon, cast them down to the earth. And that's when it says, woe unto those, you know, who are on the earth, because the dragons come down. And the first thing he's going to go after is the sun-clothed woman, which are the good, not the lukewarm Christians, but the ones who are really, you know, on fire for the Lord as much as they can be in this world. And and he's going to try to persecute them, but they're going to be given two wings like a great eagle and taken into a safe place, and they're going to be protected there for the times and a half, which is a 3.5-year period of the tribulation from the serpent. So they're going to be taken care of, but you notice it didn't say they're going to fly to heaven. It says they're going to fly into the wilderness, so they're going to stay on earth. So that's right. Another type of a rapture. And see, there's so much more to the Bible than we've been taught. You know, we've been taught simple Simon, but we're trying to get into the deep things, the deep revelation for Christ here.
Exactly. Right.
So now that the sons of God are on the scene, now that they've been born and they come down from heaven, they go up to heaven, right? But then it says they come down from heaven as New Jerusalem, like a bride adorned for her husband. So they've been they got married to Christ when they went up to heaven. And now they're coming back to earth. And now I want to talk about the Book of Joel describing these people on earth and what they're going to do. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound alarm my holy mountain. This is Joel chapter 2. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. It says a day of darkness and of gloominess, which is exactly where we are. People are gloomy. They don't know what the future is. There's so much uncertainty. You can feel it in the air. You know, you can feel it. So we know we're at that point. And then again, with all of these things going on in the world and the political system, it's all coming apart is what's happening. It's all headed toward chaos and destruction, because even the Bible made it clear, unless those days are shortened, no flesh would survive. So nuclear destruction is man's ultimate outcome without God intervening through his people. But he is going to intervene. He said, because on an account of the elect, because of my chosen, coming to earth with sevenfold anointing, those days will be shortened, because they will have the power to stop it. And this is what, now we're going to get into that stopping power that they have, the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Because these people were caught up to heaven and received their new bodies, they are no longer, when they come back to earth, they're not going to be in their fallen flesh, 666, whatever you want to call it, sinful nature. They're going to be without spot and wrinkle, because they're going to have a perfect body. They're going to be virgins, because they are now born from above. They now have their new virgin body from the throne of God. The incorruptible seed has been activated in them, and their old man is gone. He doesn't exist. And their redeemed body, mind, soul, and spirit in perfect, because it says the perfect's going to come. They are the perfect church representing Christ in fullness coming back to earth, and they're going to put a stop to the tribulation. So they come back down as New Jerusalem, and they start and they leave the gate, and the gates to New Jerusalem are now open when they come back. That means people can now enter the kingdom of God on earth who are still in the tribulation. They can come in. They can say, wow, we're in trouble here. We need Jesus. You know, I'm talking about everybody across the board, every sinner on the planet. It says the forces of the Gentiles will come to you. So everybody, the gates are open for anybody to come and be ministered to and enter the kingdom through the gates of New Jerusalem, which is the bride of Christ, the sons of God's ministry on the earth. So they'll, they said, they're a great people and a strong. This is right after it says, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like. There's never been anything like these people, not even the apostles and Pentecost, it says, because that was the latter rain. What's on these people is the former and latter rain, and that's what they're distributing.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to, their ministry will be totally moving in that spirit. And wherever they go, it's like a river of life flowing out of them, literally. All those things, songs you read about, there's a river of life flowing out of me, and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and move mountains, and everything, and anything, if you ask anything my name, it shall be done. That is these people. That all those scriptures will be fulfilled by these people. That they've never been fulfilled. We've had bits and pieces, and the Christian church has had a little bit of power, and the apostles had, you know, and the early church had a lot more power and authority, but these people will have absolute authority, and they will have the perfect almighty power of God in their lives, because they have been redeemed, and they have bodies now that can handle, they have new wineskins that won't burst when they're full of this, whereas our fallen bodies could not even handle this anointing. There's not one person who has the curse of Adam on them still, in the seed of their parents, could handle this anointing. It would kill them because it's so powerful and so strong. The other thing is God couldn't trust it to them anyway, because they'd end up calling down fire and wiping people out probably. if they're falling, each or God in there, they could do a lot of damage. But these people are going to be absolutely harmless and yet totally powerful. So it says fire devours before them. That's the sevenfold anointing, Holy Ghost and fire, and it burns up the chaff. And that chaff is anything in the world, anything within people, because the kingdom's within each person. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of Antichrist is in people. It's not anything outward. It's all inward, and it's all a decision that they make. So if you want to be burned up by the Holy Ghost and fire and enter the kingdom, then come on in. But if you don't, then you reject their preaching, because it says if they go into a city and they reject you, leave that city, it'll be worse for them than Sodom and Gomorrah. Then they'll get the other kind of fire, which is the fire of God's wrath and destruction. So everybody's going to have that choice, because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, I mean, that's not true now. Somebody can get saved and not get baptized or get baptized and, you know, they're not going to be, she'll be saved or damned based on that, because that's in part. But when the perfect ministry comes, everything gets amped up to the nth degree in terms of the effect. And so the effect of these people is going to be great one way or another. It's because all of the biblical prophecies that have to be fulfilled before Jesus said all these things must, you know, come to pass before the end comes. So there's so much of the Bible that hasn't even come to pass. And Joel 2 especially. So it says the flame burns and the land is at a Garden of Eden before them and behind them a desolate wilderness. So there you go. They have a two-edged sword. They have a sword of blessing if you accept the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, because it says this gospel, the gospel Jesus preached with signs following, because, I'm getting too excited. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So when these people come around with this power and demonstration and healing whosoever will, there won't be any failures. If you want to get healed, these people, you will get healed. If you ask the Lord to heal you through his sons and his daughters, his manifested sons of God, you will be healed and delivered. I don't care if you have missing arms, legs, eyes, teeth, anything. It says you will even return to the days of your youth. That scripture has never been fulfilled. People will return to the days of their youth. And so You have the Garden of Eden on one side and the desolate wilderness, which is the rejection, on the other side, which is this kingdom of Antichrist, the desolate wilderness. So you choose Christ and the mark of God in your forehead, or you choose Antichrist and the 666 system because you want to stay in the world. We know what the Bible says. If you love this world, you hate God. The love of the Father is not in you. So everybody who's going to come run to the sons of God are going to be people who are sick of this world. Let me tell you that. If you're having a good old time and think this place is pretty good, you're not, you better have your spirit
reevaluate.
Yeah. So anyway, but here's the thing. So it says, "Yea, and nothing shall escape them." In other words, nobody's not going to be affected by this ministry. Everybody on the earth is going to feel the effects of the sons of God. So the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on tops of mountains shall they leap. In other words, gravity has no impact on them. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. So they're full of the power and authority of God, and nothing's going to deter them. And here's an interesting. The next representation because it says, "Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness." And the reason is, it's because their light is going to be so bright that it's going to shine into all the dark crevices and corners of people's lives, and they're going to be very ashamed and very repentant of what they are when that light hits their soul, and that's a good thing because it's going to be humbling for them, and then they're going to be ready to come into the kingdom of God. "And they shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks." They're going to be in perfect one accordness in doing exactly what God tells them to do. They're not going to do anything or say anything or do any acts of God unless God tells them, just like Jesus says, "I only do what the Father tells me to do and what he shows me." They're going to be just like Christ in every sense of the word, because he said, "These works shall you do in greater works." I don't see people walking on water. I see people claiming they walk on water here and there, but I've never seen it. I mean, if there were people walking on water, the news media would be there in a flash. All they say is, "Hey, come down to Santa Monica Pier at 6. I'm going to jump off and walk on the water," and you'd get a nice. And they filmed it. You'd get a lot of attention, believe me. So the church hasn't even begun to live up to the standard that's going to become the standard as the kingdom comes to earth.
That's true.
"They shall fall." Okay, "when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded." Now this is where I'm going to stop, because just to share a dream I had regarding this. In the dream, I actually had sevenfold anointing. I was actually in the kingdom in the dream on the earth. I was in a little town, and I was just standing. I was in the town. I was in a house, and I was looking east, and a whole battalion of tanks and troops rolled up into the city, and they were not friendly. I almost got the feeling maybe they were Russian troops. Maybe not. They could have been somebody, but that is just what I kind of felt like. These are Russian tanks and troops, and they saw me and they started, because everybody had left the town and only they were in there, and only they were there because everybody had fled because they knew they were coming. But I was there and I was in perfect peace. Perfect peace, perfect joy. I had perfect. Yeah, I was just in a perfect state. I wasn't upset at them. I wasn't afraid of them. And then all of a sudden they opened up, started shooting with their tanks, their machine guns, everything pointed at me. And I was literally laughing and chuckling, like, you know, what are you wasting your ammunition on me for? You know, on one sense I was saying that, but on another sense it was like, aren't you kind of curious why you can't shoot me and kill me or hurt me? And wouldn't you want to talk to me about that? Because I wasn't being threatening. I didn't have a gun or anything. I was just standing there. But they just kept going, and all of a sudden the Lord took me out of that and took me over to somewhere else where I had literally had lunch with some friends. Then he brought me back because they weren't, you know, they were getting, the more they tried to kill me, the more they fired, you know. In other words, we can't kill this guy. It only made him madder instead of them, you know, being humble and saying, wow, maybe you should listen. Anyway, they didn't listen. Lord took me out of there, and I just supernaturally, and then after I ate lunch, he brought me back there, and it was, and that army was devastated. Everything, the tanks were literally melted, and just completely wiped out. Everything was burned up and melted. So that was an example of somebody rejecting the gospel of the kingdom, because these people are going to have such a strong spirit of the Lord. It's going to be so strong on them and flowing out of them that they won't even have to say anything. You'll just be people are just going to be attracted to them. The people of God, the people who love Jesus, the people who want good and want God, they're just going to flow into it. But the people who are of the spirit of Antichrist and of the devil and hate God, or hate peace and love and joy and hate everything that represent and everything Christ's kingdom represent, they're going to go and they're not going to like us. And that's what it means by rejection or peace on the city. You know, if it, same principle as this, they rejected this flowing spirit that was on me, and they even demonstrate to them because they couldn't kill me. And right there, that's a miracle. They were dropping bombs right on me and nothing. And I wasn't mad, and I wasn't angry. I was totally at peace with them. But they didn't want to listen. They didn't even want to talk to me. They just wanted to try to kill me. And that's when I think the Lord just took me out. He said, "You know, they're not going to listen. They made their choice, and that was that." So anyway, here we go with Joel 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. You know, it says the sun and the moon shall be dark before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, here it is. When's the last time you went to a church and it was in the, or when they went to any sane Christian and the earth shook or the heavens trembled? That's not very common at all. But with these people, it will be very common. Even the stars shall withdraw their shining, it says. Because that's how powerful these people are. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? In other words, great for the believer, great for those who enter New Jerusalem, who enter into the gates, through the ministry, the perfect ministry of the bride, the body of Christ, the body of Christ on earth, one with Christ in every sense of the word, or the double-edged sword, are very terrible for those who reject and do not want to enter the kingdom of God. And the problem with the planet, here's the problem. The earth is going to become Christ's kingdom, period, end of story. The question is, are you going to enter the kingdom of God? In other words, because if you don't enter it, you can't exist anymore on the earth, because the earth is no longer going to be the fallen world. It's going to now be transformed into the kingdom, and only kingdom people who have been born again can enter the kingdom. So if you are not born again, you can't enter, and the alternative is, it says the Bible will cut off the wicked, will not inherit the earth. The righteous shall inherit the earth. The wicked will be cut off. So you've got to get with the program. There's a new species coming, and sin is out. Sin is obsolete. If you want to hang on to sin, you're hanging on to 666. You're hanging on to the sinful world. You're hanging on to the nature and the economies of this world, which are all going to crumble under the authority of the sons of God. And, you know, Satan's going to have a time. You know, for a short time, he's going to be able to do some things, but in the end, he's going to be cast into the pit. And if you follow him, well, good luck. It's not going to be pretty. So that's basically, I don't know how much how much time we have here.
You still have a little time.
Okay, so that's, yes, that's my, that's the guts of my message. The other thing, yeah, is that we're very close to seeing these things. These things are very close, and God is calling his people. And there's a great scripture in Matthew, and this is the sad truth, but I'm just going to have to read it. It says, this is Matthew 22. It says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Okay, because this is what Pastor T's message and ministry is all about, the calling the bride to the wedding. And again, he set forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my ox, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way. I mean, oh, these people are nuts. You can't be a son of, God. I mean, or they're full of religiosity like the scribes and the Pharisees who didn't even understand who Jesus was because they had preconceived ideas. That's why you have to become as a child. You gotta wipe out. It says, forget things in the past. I'm gonna do a new thing. So you can't rely even. And as much as I love the old prophets and William Branham and his ministry and even William Seymour and Bonnie Bray and all of those things, they're all good. And there's things that we should understand or read about. But even all that, that's all going down the way, because that was all in part. We're moving into perfection, and that's what. He's,
right.
God's calling his people to now. He's calling them to become perfect in Christ and to become sons of God, to mature and enter into the kingdom, the literal kingdom of God within. So he made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm. See, they were more interested in the things of this world. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go make money. I want to make money. I want to send my kids to college. I want to do this, that. I want to have a nice car and a fancy home. Another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. In other words, I said, we don't, you people, let's get rid of these people. They're crazy, And so that's why you have to really understand the Bible and have the, and ask the Lord for the spirit of revelation to get into the deep things of God, because that's what I got through Ray Sorello's ministry. Was the spirit of revelation. That was a gift he could impart to people. And that was one thing that I always, it was amazing. That was the greatest blessing from there, that and the binding of the LA earthquake, but that's a whole nother story. Maybe I'll share that another time. But when the
Well, maybe I'll share before you continue on, that that's where I really met Jesus.
Yeah.
He put, I love that about the late, great Ray Sorello. He introduced us to the one true living God. I'll say that.
Yes,
there is a living God. And he introduced us to him and his plan of the ages, which is beyond.
Yeah,
we only see it in spurts throughout the whole Christendom,
he appealed to the whole Pentecostal movement back there, and they didn't want to listen to him. They thought he was kind of but
he was before his time. But now you see that a lot of churches are talking about the same things that he was talking about way back when.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to get it.
So some of them are waking up to their to being that overcomer, that first fruit, the government of God. I mean, the bride is the government that's coming. Now there'll be a whole boatload, millions, billions of people are going to come into the kingdom and live, but they're going to be ruled by Christ and his bride. And not like that's on, we're on an ego trip, or we're going to be like tyrants and do, we're going to be like Christ. We're going to rule exactly as Christ would rule. We're just going to be his ambassadors. And that's what,
right.
that's this, what we are contending for. This is what we're asking the Lord for, because we know the Son of God will end to this fallen world. They literally put it out of business. So if you're tired of death, you're tired of accidents, you're tired of doctors, you're tired of getting old, you're tired of going to funerals, you're tired of all of this fallen, cursed stuff, then this is for you. This is what you want.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because
this
is the time. This opportunity is now. This opportunity was not available. But many are called pure chosen. So it says, but when the king heard there, he was wroth with them, and he sent forth his army. He destroyed those murderers. He called them murderers because they were attacking his true messengers and burned up their city.
And that's what is happening right now.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of destruction coming to America. I hate to say it, but it's coming. There's too many prophecies about, suitcase nukes, and you have to be in the secret place of the Most High. That's where you have to be. That's the other benefit, is get into the secret place. Maybe you're not called to be in a son of God, to be in this army, but you definitely, if you walk with the Lord and you stay close to him, and this time you will be supernaturally protected either through his bride or through angels. There, you're going to be taken care of. You will get through the tribulation unscathed. But if you walk, you get lukewarm or the things of this world appeal to you, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
So anyway,
because they still are called to Psalms 91.
They which were bidden were not worthy. Go into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So, the call goes out to anybody. It could be anybody. It could be a guy down, somebody living with a, meth addiction on Skid Row right now. And if he's the call, wakes up. He could be in the army, and all those people who lived their whole life for Christ and said, no, I don't want that, they could be left out. So anyway,
that's true.
So as many as he found, because it says as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It's not how good we are, how bad we are. It's whether we are obedient to the call of God in our lives. And, it's good to do, it's obviously better to live for the Lord and to do what's right than to do, to disobey and things. But even there, at the very end, the servants come in at the last second. Remember, it doesn't matter if you started working at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, you get the same wage, you get the same reward. And,
Russell. I like what you said about who is the Antichrist and who is manifesting Christ. And those are the two contrasts about what's in a person's heart also.
Yep.
And
your heart is like a magnet. It's either going to be a magnet and attracted to what is good or God, or it's going to be a magnet that's attracted to evil and the devil. So we're at that stage.
And I wanted to go back over to what you said about the state that we're in, being in the secret place. People have to be in the secret place of the Most High. That's the only way they're going to escape what's coming on the earth, because it is coming. And it is happening even before the pandemic. If you were telling people we're in the end times and things are about to start happening, people were still fussing about it, and they didn't want to hear it. I've been hearing that all my life. Well, now you see it before you. And, time may pass and we get a rest, but things are constantly happening behind the scenes. And people need to wake up, and they got to get in the step with the Lord and what he's doing. And Psalms 91 is a good foundation for you also to abide in at this time. Don't be just out there, because if you're in the outer courts, you can become a casualty at this time. Even though you're a Christian, you could be walking too far away from the Lord. So
that would be my only suggestion. If this isn't ringing, you know, there are people who are, their destiny is martyrdom. There's no question about that. And I mean, that's clear in the Bible. You know, there are martyrs.
That's true.
There is a seal, and there are a lot of martyrs. So, but if this rings true to you and brother, sister T&T's ministry, if this is ringing in your spirit, then God's definitely calling you to be a son of God, to become an overcomer, because that's the opportunity. And the other thing is, and I would say, is about, you know, because Jesus said, you know, always pray this kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And we should want the kingdom more than anything, because that, you know, if we're like, well, I don't really want the kingdom now, why? Because you're too busy, or you think you have to do this, that, or the other thing? The kingdom solves all your problems. The kingdom solves all the problems for man. The kingdom puts an end to all of the suffering. The kingdom is the answer to everything. So why any Christian would not want to make the kingdom a priority, no matter when it came, even if we were living 2,000 years ago, we'd still want the kingdom, because that means the world is done. But we know now there's so much, the handwriting's on the wall. I mean, again, when you see what's going on in this and they're trying to teach kids about being transsexuals and dancing around and transvestites dancing and around in front of kids and saying, oh, join us, and corporations even promoting it. That's Sodom and Gomorrah level sin, folks, you know. And God can tolerate things up to a point. He's been very long suffering, and he's put up
with
a lot. But it's over now, because everything's falling into place. The armies are getting revved up. I heard from very sober-minded, intelligent people that we will be invaded before November by a combination of Russia and China. Now, God can put that off, definitely, but he may not. But I know one thing, too, is our this inflation is not going to stop. It's just going to keep going up and up and up, and money's going to become less and less and less, because they've borrowed. We're not like, they say we're $30 trillion in debt, but if you look at the unfunded, they call them unfunded liabilities, like Social Security and everything else, we're $156 trillion at least in debt. In other words, every taxpayer is on the hook for over $2 million. And on top of that, they said you could sell all the assets in America. You could sell every building the American government owns, all the land, all the houses, everything that America is worth, and we would still pay off the debt. So the only option is print. And the thing is you can only print for so long, and then the money becomes worthless. And the other side of it is, a lot of these enemies of ours, like China and Russia, they own what's called bonds, which is they buy our debt. So all of a sudden, if our money is worthless, well, all that money they invest, they bought is worthless. And you know what happens with mobsters and criminals when you don't pay them off?
Hey.
They spend the hitman.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And America is
and
a very,
Russell.
Very precarious place right now. Believe me, it's pushed God out of everything. Did you know there was one congressperson who spoke up against these transvestites dancing in the schools and in the libraries? One. So it's not Democrat, it's not Republican. They're all corrupted by the spirit of the great whore of Babylon, which is what it is. It's the spirit of the great whore. And
can you pray for the people, so before we leave, to bring out a call for them? You know, the people.
Sure.
Can you pray for them for us when we have like a minute left?
Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we know you're a God of love, joy, and peace. But we know, Lord, that we need to pay attention to you and not to the things of the world, not to the trinkets, not to the flashy, shiny things that are, have no real value. Those are all, that's all, those are fake riches. Those are fake prosperity. Real prosperity, Lord, is in you and in your kingdom and in having your a perfect body. That's where those are riches that nobody can else can come close to. That's the love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate riches. And all of the rest of it, yeah, there will be beautiful homes in the kingdom. We know all that, Lord. But thing is, Lord, we need to pay attention now to you only. Come out of Babylon. Any attachments to the world, Lord, help us to break free from them. We know we have to work while it is day, Lord, but we know the night comes. No man can work. So we got to keep doing what we're doing. But all the time, Lord, help us to pray, meditate on you, think of you, think of the word of God, think of the greatness of your kingdom, and know that, and Lord, if it be your will, let us be a part of your bride army, remnant company, Lord, yeah. Because that is the ultimate calling. There's no higher calling in God than the calling of the bride. So we just pray that the people out there hear the calling and heed the calling and ask the Lord about it. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord, are these people wacky or are they telling the truth?
We really enjoyed you. We want you to come back also because you have a lot of information, and I feel like you didn't get some of the things out. So I know the Lord is going to have you come back. And so we'll be seeing you guys. Thanks for listening to TNT with Christian Talk. Good night. God bless you all.
Good night, everybody. God bless.